You can have all the Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio podcast with our new app. Just search your app store, Apple, Android, Kindle. We don't care what you use. Search the app store for Explorations Early Learning. Download the app. Give it a try.
It's time to lean back and buckle in. This ain't your grandma's early learning podcast. Then again, your grandma probably didn't know what a podcast was. Hey, moms and dads, puppies and kittens, caregivers and advocates, it's time for Shaking Bones. Here's Dan and Amy.
Hi there. Welcome to the Shaking Bones podcast. I'm Dan Hodgins.
And I'm Amy Ahola.
In this episode, we're talking about schedules or routines. Amy and I are hanging out together to tackle the untouchables. Sometimes we might challenge your beliefs and maybe even stretch your comfort zone. And most importantly, though, we want to make you think. We don't expect agreement or disagreement, but what we do hope is to cause some shaking bones. This is a real interesting topic, Amy, because I thought about this the last couple of nights in terms of what is the difference between a schedule, if there is any, and a routine for children. What are your thoughts about how they are different or if they're different?
You know, I see schedules as being quite rigid, where, you know, okay, at this time we're doing this and you have 15 minutes for this and then we're transitioning to something else. Whereas I see a routine, something more of just kind of like an order to things, like you eat breakfast in the morning and, you know, lunch happens somewhat during the middle of the day and dinner happens later. And that's kind of how I see them as being different.
Yeah, I, the same thing. I'm seeing schedules as more of a time frame, usually developed by an adult. But it's, you know, like at 8 o'clock we're going to have breakfast and at 10 o'clock snack or whatever. Where I see routines is more of events or actions that occur, and they're kind of consistent so that children, and sometimes they're even created by children in terms of helping them feel comfort during a particular part of the day. I think what gets challenging sometimes is the schedule doesn't always match, perhaps, what children want or need. So, for example, I always use the analogy that nap time is usually between 1 and 3. Everywhere I go, people say rest time or nap time is between 1 and 3. And I'm thinking, where did that come from? Are all people tired? I know adults probably are in the afternoon between that when they're watching children. But that's kind of a schedule that's inherent everywhere as if children are supposed to all lay down at 1, go to sleep, and then wake up at 3 o'clock. Do you find that that's common where you're going?
You know, I do. And, you know, although we don't have a real rigid time for that, it tends to fall pretty close to that time frame most of the time. But, you know, if the children are clearly tired and hungry, we'll eat earlier so that they can lay down. Or if it's absolutely gorgeous outside and they're not, we'll stay outside for longer in the morning before we have lunch. So we have that, you know, flexibility in there. But that 1 to 3 time, you know, tends to be a time that does occur for the children as the time when most of them are ready to rest.
That's interesting because, you know, and I'm assuming everywhere I go, as I said, that's usually the scheduled time. And it does seem the children's energy level tends to go down a little or need an opportunity for relaxation as part of that process. And some people say, well, the rules say, and well, I looked at it and I didn't find any rule that said that they had to be down between 1 and 3. It does say rest time, but I keep thinking that sometimes the schedules develop perhaps, and not just nap time, but sometimes the schedule is developed because it's more convenient for the adults.
Well, and when you talk about it being more convenient for the adults, yes, to some degree, But also, I think adults make their lives miserable by trying to stick to this schedule rather than having a routine for the children, because they're adding all of these unnecessary transitions and they're not giving children enough time to learn and explore. And that's when you have all of the, children acting out because they're trying to say, hey, this is not working for me. This is not what I need. And then you start, and then adults see that as behavioral problems when really a lot of times it has to do with having that rigid schedule.
Yeah, and I think, I'm always looking at a time frame like this. The children arrive and the children leave. And what happens during that day are the routines that often children set up. Now, I realize that it's really important that children be fed, and that we have to provide a rest period, which makes us look at the schedule in terms of what might be a time that fits most of the children. But I look at routines as really more relevant, more important. It's like what do children want to do when they arrive at your program? What do they need to do before they leave your program? And sometimes those routines are consistently set up by children. I've even heard children say things like, aren't we going to do this or aren't we going to do that? Because they get used to a routine that is satisfying to them. Do you have that in your program too?
Definitely. And and it really helps because children have absolutely no concept of time. Time is so abstract to them that they don't understand that, but they know when you have a consistent routine of what typically happens, because of course there are days where, what typically happens does not happen at all, but they know that, okay, well, we're going to, for example, we're going to have lunch and we're sitting at the lunch table and they're talking and they're like, okay, after lunch, we're going to rest. After rest, we're going to do, we're going to get up when we're ready to get up and go into the kitchen and do art or, whatever they choose to do while the other children are still resting in the other room. And then they know we're going to go outside or we're going to have a snack. We're going to go outside and then mom and dad are going to come. And so for some of the children, who are a little bit older, the ones who are able to verbalize it, will often be like, okay, my mom's going to pick me up, but first I'm going to do this, that, they know exactly what types of things are going to happen before their day is over. And they also know that, okay, if it's snack time and I haven't done something that I really want to do, I need to do it soon because my mom or dad will be coming.
Right. So the routine of the day is often designed by, what the children need and want, and create those experiences, and they pretty much like them to be consistent, don't you think? So I'm always looking at an example of when you go on a field trip, and people do this, children go back and their routine has changed sometimes, so they'll make comments like, well, isn't it time to play? Because they don't necessarily view the experience they just took place fitting into their normal routine of the day. So it shakes things up a little, which sometimes creates some of the behavioral issues that you were talking about earlier when it comes to the schedule components.
Exactly. And, one of the best things you can do if you are going to have a day that is going to be out of routine, or, for me, my program is very, it's a home-based program and children come and go at various times. Not everybody starts at the same time. Not everybody leaves at the same time, but children get used to, okay, usually so-and-so-and-so gets picked up before I get picked up. And so if that's out of routine for them, or if you're doing a field trip or if you're doing something that's different, communicating that to the children to let them know does a lot of times help that out. Okay, today it's going to be a little bit different. And so that helps them out a little bit with it. It doesn't necessarily help, with all of it, because there's still a lot of times anxiety or issues that children have when things change and they're not quite ready for change to happen. I mean, I know a lot of adults who have trouble dealing with change, so it's pretty natural to expect that children are going to have trouble with it when it's out of routine as well.
Sure, it's just like our own personal lives. In the morning, we have a certain set of routines that we follow. Some people can't live without a cup of coffee before they move forward. And other people need other components. So we set up our own personal routines. And I think that that's what happens in early childhood programs, too, is that there are a process that develops where children are used to particular events. How can we help people? I think part of the challenge becomes when schedules get so tight that there's no flexibility in terms of including children in that process of what that schedule should look like and how often it occurs. How can we help people see the schedule as perhaps being a little more flexible?
I think one of the things that people have trouble with is, okay, they say that licensing says we have to have, you know, so much of this and so much of that, and you need this many minutes of outdoor time and, you know, those types of things. And I think one of the things that you can look at when you're trying to put a schedule together is really minimize the adult-led transitions and have it be something that grows and evolves with the children in your care. You know, right now I've got a very wide range of ages. When I have much younger children, our meal times tend to happen, you know, lunch is earlier because they're tired earlier, you know, and they tend to be hungry earlier. And so just being able to like look at it and adapt and, you know, if you have a guideline, but have big chunks of time available for children and, you know, you can say, okay, this 3-hour chunk of time, there will be a snack sometime in there. There will be, you know, children will have opportunities to experience the different types of activities that are required by licensing, but don't, you know, do 20 minutes on outdoor time, 20 minutes on, you know, different aspects, because through play, children are going to get all of those different aspects. And so it's just a matter of making sure you have, you know, bigger chunks of time for the children to explore and adapt your schedule as you get to know the children and look at the needs that are happening. You know, if somebody gets cut and needs a Band-Aid or scrapes their knee, you're going to drop everything and you're going to do that. So if the children are saying, hey, I'm hungry, well, then you need to adjust and make sure that their needs are being met there as well.
Right, and I think that's an important part of what we're saying here is that we really need to be careful observers of what children want and need and base that schedule on what that occurs. And it might not remain the same each day, but the activity or event, which is the routine, will probably be consistent. So like lunch might be earlier some day or it might be later in some day depending on the kind of play that's occurring outdoors or indoors, or a rest time might be flexible in terms of when that is occur. We're not suggesting that they remove the because I think that becomes really uncomfortable for children, but as we become careful observers, I remember in the program that I was in that I noticed that the children at certain times of the year needed to be outdoors more than they needed to be indoors. And I wasn't in a program that had the flexibility of allowing children to go out whenever they wanted to because I was sharing the playground with other programs. But I did notice that that often when they get up from rest, they wanted to be wanted some downtime, and then they immediately wanted to go into outdoor play or having some kind of real physical opportunities. And I found that as I observed kids, the schedule changed based on what they wanted or needed at that particular time of the year. So I think what you're indicating is a really important point here is that as we become comfortable and observing what children want and need, then our schedule changes to fit them.
And, you know, I think it's important to note, too, that, you know, and it's hard because the logistics of it are sometimes difficult, but a lot of times there's a way for you to find it, that your group of children are going to be different. And so the needs, not all of the children are going to need the same thing at the same time. So having flexibility in, you know, rest or nap, like I, you know, I care for infants and toddlers, and I have some children who are, you know, 13. So it's a matter of really looking at, you know, the different needs that are there. And of course, my infants sleep whenever they feel like sleeping. And I have toddlers that are still taking two naps a day while other children are not. And so it's just finding a way to make it work for everybody. And, you know, children who aren't verbal yet can still tell you in other ways what their needs are. For example, I have a toddler who, you know, isn't talking yet, but he naps in the same spot every day. So when he's tired, he gets his blanket and he goes and he lays in that spot. And that's a signal to me, hey, I'd like my cot. I want to go to sleep. And so, you know, it just having that, again, that routine, the routine for him is, you know, knowing that this is where I sleep. And when I'm tired, if I go here, then it's, things will be provided for me to be able to sleep when I want to.
Sure, and what that does is, of course, develop a real strong sense of comfort and security to know that child can go to the same space when he or she is tired, and it provides a real invitation to that child to recognize that this is important, and my adult in my life is going to allow that to occur. What is, when you're talking about a schedule for your program, because you're in a home, it might be different than a schedule for a program in a center. I know in center time, frequently there is a time where meals have to take place, usually a morning and afternoon snack and a lunch, whether children bring it or it's provided. And then there's a period of time where children can explore on their own, self-selected experiences. Some people call it free play. I would rather choose to call it where children just are allowed to select what they want to participate. And then there might be some group and small group experiences, as well as some individual experiences. And then, of course, there's the arriving and the departing opportunity. How does your schedule fit into this component?
You know, Dan, we participate in the USDA food program, so right. We are required to give specific time intervals for our meal services. Right. However, they're pretty broad to give us a little bit of flexibility in when exactly that happens. But we have arrivals in the morning starting, you know, shortly before 7 a.m. And sometimes some children of the other children don't arrive until 10. And so it's just, you know, like I said, we have a varied program because of the way that we're set up. So children arrive when they, you know, when they get here. And in terms of breakfast with the USDA food program, I believe we're set up to serve breakfast until 9. So any time up until 9 o'clock is our window for breakfast. And then we have a snack, I think, scheduled for like half an hour, like 10 to 10:30 or something. And then lunch is pretty broad too, because we have it set up so that we could do two different services of lunch. Because at one point we were having some children leaving and some children coming in the middle of the day. We don't have that right now, but when we set up our times with the program, we did. And then we have an afternoon snack again in mid-afternoon after children have, you know, when they're hungry again after they've had their rest or things. And then departures start anywhere from 3:45 until 5:30. And so, because we close at 5:30. So those are the only, you know, times that we have to somewhat follow. But again, we've got, you know, a bracket of time. It's not that it has to be at 10, it, you know, for snack. It can be any time between that 10 and 10:30. I know a lot of programs have open snack and they have open meals. We tend not to go in that direction, although sometimes in the summer, it's a little bit more of that because the children are really a lot of times involved in the meal preparation. My husband, Alan, makes almost everything from scratch, and he likes to involve the children if they're interested in being involved in some of that. And most of the children want to be part of what's going on there. And logistically, our space does not give us a lot of, and I'm still trying to work this through my mind because I would like to try a little bit more of that. But in terms of where we could facilitate that to happen, being in our home in the small amount of space that we have, it makes it challenging to make it work. But, you know, the children generally say, you know, as a group, they're like, okay, we're hungry. And so that's when we start with, you know, with the service of where that's at. And that, or, you know, a lot of times it's the infants and toddlers that are showing those signals first. So we'll start get things going for them. And then the older kids tend to follow along after that point.
I would imagine it'd be a little more challenging also because of the variety of ages that you have in terms of infants all the way up to around 13 or whatever. So having that kind of different age span really makes it more challenging in terms of meal time. But I love the idea of flexibility in terms of being able to, when you notice that they might be hungry, it might start earlier or could start later in terms of that component. I think the big challenge for programs that are not in the homes is frequently the requests by whoever is saying, I want to make sure the children get art. I want to make sure that they get music. I want to make sure that they get outdoors. I want to make sure. So what happens is sometimes people take those blocks of times and evaluate them into some kind of formatted segments that says, okay, we're gonna do art for 20 minutes and then we're gonna stop and move into music for 15 minutes and then we're gonna stop and go outdoors for 20 minutes, then come in and do a gathering time and then we're gonna serve lunch. So what's uncomfortable for me about that is it really doesn't take into account the children in what they need, and it doesn't really include them in the process of being involved in the decision of how long I can participate. So if I'm going to do art and I'm not finished in 20 minutes, too bad. So I think it's important that we start taking a careful look at how do we fit with the requirements that we have into a more childlike schedule in our routine. Does that make sense?
It does. And, you know, we still look at that as well because we, you know, as a licensed home, I'm still required to provide so many minutes of outdoor, you know, minimally outdoor time. And they're looking for art and music and language and literacy. They're looking for early math. You know, they're looking for all these components, which children get through play. So we tend to have, you know, large chunks of time where the children have an opportunity to choose what they would like to do. And, you know, we set up the environment for them to have an open art area where they can choose their art supplies and what they'd like to do. You know, there are books everywhere. There are blocks, you know, all over the place. And so they can always choose different things. And so when you're looking at all of these different aspects, we're singing all the time, we're making music. You know, we make sure that our indoor classroom and our outdoor classroom are both equipped with all of the different opportunities that, you know, licensing is looking for, that parents are looking for, that the children are looking for. And again, careful observation of the children tells you, okay, they're really interested in dumping and pouring. What else can I provide to them? Or what might some of the older children ask for? Because when you build a relationship with them at an early age, letting them know that they can ask for what they need and that you'll work with them to get what they, you know, what they need for their explorations. You don't have to, you know, think too loud with the older children because they'll be coming up to you and telling you, okay, I need more water. I need more this. And they'll let you know for their explorations. Right. And so, you know, it's easy to do if you set your environment up and give children the choice for all of the different things to meet those requirements, whether you're in a home or in a center.
Yes, we're at our ending of this topic, which I think is fascinating. I think we both agree that it's really important to know your children, carefully observe them. We do realize there are requirements. We're not suggesting that there are certain things that need to be included, but we really need to take a careful look at what children need and what they want. Thanks so much for letting us shake some bones. If you have questions or want to continue the discussion about routines or schedules, you can email me at dkj5075@aol.com or Amy at...
You can reach me at amyahola@hotmail.com or you can find me on Facebook at Child Central Station. Thanks for listening.
Take care.
This has been Shaking Bones. Dan and Amy will be back next week for more bone rattling. Stay tuned.
Hey, you want to support all the Upstairs Studio podcasts? It's as simple as this. Use our Amazon link when you shop Amazon. We get a small percentage of what you spend. You don't pay any extra. You get your stuff from Amazon. Everybody wins. Where do you find the link? Well, it's on the Explorations Early Learning app. You can find it on the Explorations Early Learning website. And if you don't find it in those places, just get a hold of Jeff on Facebook or via email, and he'll hand deliver it to your inbox. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye.